Good morning. The summer's upon us. Would you stand one more time? We're going to read from the Word of God this morning. We've been doing a series in the Prophets, Messengers, Book of Malachi. These words are amazing. We're going to swim in an amazing text of Scripture today. As God just communicates, God gives us a message. And here's God's message as he closes out the last thoughts of Malachi chapter 2, heading into Malachi chapter 3. Listen to this. You have wearied the Lord with your words. How have we wearied him, you ask? By saying all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and he is pleased with them. Or, where is the God of justice? I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites, refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness. And the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord as in the days gone by, as in the former years. So I will come to put you on trial. So I will come to put you on trial. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppose the widow and the fatherless, and deprive the foreigners among you of justice. But do not fear me, says who? The Lord Almighty. Father, we come before you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. We come this morning as worshipers, for you are the one that desires people to worship in spirit and truth. We come, Lord, to meet and to know and to follow Jesus. We are on the journey. You are living and here and among us. We pray that your Spirit would be poured out upon us, upon our hearts. I ask, Lord, that you would open our eyes that we could see God this morning through your Spirit and through the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you would open our ears this morning through your Spirit that we might hear you speak into our lives. And we pray this for the glory of God. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. And all those who love the Lord would say, amen. Amen. Y'all may be seated. Good to see you all this morning. Glad you're all here. So as I was in the back, I heard there's a rumor out that some college students from Rio Hondo Prep School is here. Where are you guys? There they are. Can everybody say hello to this young group? So rumor has it that you guys are here like sports programs telling kids about Jesus, right? And on Sunday, I thought, hey, let's go find a Jesus community and hang with God's people. Well, welcome to this Jesus community. We're really stoked you guys are here, and we're just like you people. We're digging on this Jesus guy. We're glad you guys are with us. Pretty cool. So again, welcome. We're stoked you guys are here today. Really cool. Really, really cool. It's kind of fun. So the summer's still upon us. I just want you to know those last few weeks I was talking with a family who, they're like, Pastor Frank, we're taking our kids for our last summer vacation. They're in San Diego. Friday was the San Diego Zoo. Yesterday was SeaWorld. And today the kids are at Legoland. Wow, I want to be, right? Doesn't that sound like fun? Welcome to the summer. A lot of great things going on this summer. Hopefully you're having a good time. Last weekend, I was doing performing a wedding up in Sacramento, and Pastor Vince was in Hawaii at a wedding. Yeah, really. So, and I hear Pastor Graham did pretty good last Sunday. Am I right on that? Nah, not bad. The wedding I was doing was Taylor. You guys all know Taylor. Taylor's a really special young man in our Jesus community in this church. He married his sweetheart, Rebecca. I flew up to Sacramento, did the wedding. And you know, I always do this. Whenever I'm do in a wedding. I always tell them, you know, that, by the way, it was an outside wedding. It was 94, 95 degrees. So I was talking really fast. Hey, glad you guys are here, you know. No, it's beautiful. And build your marriage on Christ. Do you remember what Jesus says? He who hears these words of mine and acts upon them is like a wise man who builds his house upon the rock. My advice to people that are just getting married is build your marriage on Jesus. That last weekend, one shooting on one day and another shooting on another day. And as I was, Sunday, I believe it was the second shooting. What? And we had Ohio and we had Texas. And then a few weeks ago was one up at the Garlic Festival. What is wrong with this place? You know, I just kept sitting there going, Lord, our country's hurting, man. What a broken, fallen world we live in amongst really depraved people. It breaks my heart. You know, our founding father, one of our founding fathers, John Adams, wrote the Constitution as part of the Declaration of Independence. He says that this republic was written for a moral and religious people. It is completely inadequate to the governance of any other. And he's right, because God is the one that judges the human heart. God is the one that speaks into the heart of a human being. Just because you make a law doesn't change anything. People break laws all the time. Our founding father said that this country that we're creating is created, this constitution is written for a moral and religious people. It's completely inadequate to the governance of any other, because God is the one that governs the human heart. And now here we are in this country where we've pushed God out of pretty much every place. And now we're having debates about what even a human being is, or what is human life and when does it begin. You need to come and see this movie on Monday, or Friday night. It's a great movie. It needed to be shown. It opens a great topic that needs to be spoken of here in this country about human life and the dignity of human life. You need to come see this movie. Our youth are coming to see this movie. It's rated R. You have to come see this. We've got problems in America. Do I hear an amen? The only hope for America and the only hope for this world is the transforming gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus transforms us from the inside out, this is what our Constitution was made for, a person that has had this experience, according to one of the founding fathers of this country. The kingdom of Jesus is about transforming people from every nation, tribe, and tongue to be a kingdom and priest to serve our God. That's God's plan. That's His gospel. What is happening in this country, people? We need to pray, man. Father, we do pray. We pray for those this week, families that lost loved ones, because of evil and depravity, brokenness of humanity beyond limitations of even civil and moral law. We pray, Lord God, that You would comfort these people. And I ask, Lord, that You would speak unto this country who's lost its way. I pray for the church. Help us, God, to be the people You've called us to be. Help us to do the things You've asked us to do. Pray for the hope and the future of this land. In Your most holy name. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Yep, that's it. Let's go home. No. I need to say something on a lighter note. Hey, have you noticed that those big speakers aren't up here anymore? They were called monitors. Have you noticed that those are gone? If you listen closely, the people in worship now have ear monitors. We bought ear monitors for them. And What it has done is it's caused a challenge within our church, ricocheting of noise and this and that and the other. And so August the 25th and the first Sunday of September, we're closing the balcony because we need to do some sound testing and get a handle on this new technology. And apparently our bodies actually absorb sound. Did you all know that? And so everybody up in the balcony, I want everybody down here to wave up everybody up there. You guys are very welcome to come and sit amongst us for two Sundays, August the 25th and I believe first Sunday of September. We're testing sound for 2 weeks. So, FYI. Yeah, you're going to have to come and like us. We promise down here that we'll all take a bath on Sunday. That you will not be offended sitting next to us at all. Yeah, we don't bite. That's true. So FYI on that. Let's talk about this for a moment. What an amazing text we get to talk on today. Has anybody in this room ever been wearied in life? It was funny. Malachi's an amazing book. Sin and I, my wife and I, were talking, and we were talking about, man, life can weary you, people can weary you, and we were looking at each other, goes, can you think of a time when we were wearied, and we remembered our bunnies? Has anyone ever had bunnies for pets? Bunnies for pets. Dr. Michael Anthony, my professor at seminary, calls us up one day, have bunnies, we'll deliver. Here we are living down, Sin and I, we have three young kids. And Michael shows up and in the ice chest, he's got two baby bunnies. We call them Cadbury and Thumper. Okay? And bunnies. Sin and his sister had bunnies. We thought, hey, bunnies is cool. No problem with the bunnies. So we get these little bitty bunnies and it's cool. We got three kids and two bunnies. Bunnies kept digging out of our backyard. Pastor Frank comes home and the bunnies are out in the street. I'm plugging holes and all over. Plugging holes. And the more holes I plug, guess what they did? They dug more holes. So then we decided, well, we got to figure this out. So we built, my good old dad, man, he's awesome. He built a rabbit hutch thing, you know? And you put like this metal mesh on the floor so when their droppings go through, you know? And this is good. Isn't this a great idea? Isn't that wonderful? Those bunnies would grab and they'd sharpen their teeth on the hutch. And you'd hear this popping sound all night long. Pop, smack, pop, smack. And my wife goes, I got the kids to bed, these bunnies. It was driving us insane. These bunnies were wearying us. Okay? At 2:30 in the morning, we give up. The bunnies go outside the hutch, the bunnies dig, and they become neighborhood bunnies. I mean, we had our neighbors going, ding-ling-ling, ding-ling, hey, Frank, your bunny's out. Yeah, we got that. I mean, we were done of waking up early in the morning and pulling them out underneath the neighbor's car across the street in our bathrobes. We're done. They became the neighborhood bunnies. Okay? The bunnies wearied us. They wearied us. Have you ever been wearied in life? Has people ever wearied you? Webster's dictionary defines wearied as this, having one's patience or tolerance or pleasure exhausted. Wearied is used with words like drained or fatigued or I'm just worn out. Think about this. Malachi is God's last prophet. His last messenger to his people between the Old Testament and the New Testament. In between the intertestamental period, the last words of God before it's called the 400 years of silence. No more prophets, no more miracles, visions, dreams. Silence. And God speaking to his people as he ends the second chapter of Malachi. He tells his people, you weary me. The Almighty God is wearied by his people. At that time, God's people were back in their land. The deportation for Babylon is over. They are... The temple's rebuilt. The walls have been rebuilt. Ezra and Zerubbabel and Nehemiah have come and gone. And yet the people are there. And they're like, the glory days aren't there of Solomon. The people are looking around at the time. And they're saying that God has basically let them down. They look around and they say God is unfaithful, that God is untrustworthy, that God is not fair. People, that God is not just. You've wearied the Lord with your words, God says. How have we wearied Him, you ask? By saying all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and He is pleased with them. Or where is the God of justice? These people see the depressing state of their life and they blame God for it. Their situation, their circumstances, their problems, they're God's fault. You ever met people like this, right? What I love about the book of Malachi is God says, I cannot let this stand. This sarcastic taunting that my people are doing, I cannot stand silent with this. And so God says, sends His prophet to basically say, not true. You are off. It's not me who's unfaithful, it's you. Your circumstances, your situation, your problems, they're not my fault, they're yours. The reason I'm not blessing you as I did in the former years isn't because I just decided not to, but it's because of your behavior. It's an awesome book, you guys. I pray you really enjoy the book of Malachi, because God's an amazing communicator. It's interesting, at the end of chapter 2, God just says, it's almost like He pauses and He goes, my people weary me. My people weary me. Have you ever had someone constantly question your character? Someone that questions your integrity? Someone that sees what's going on in their life and they blame other people for it? Like almost like a spoiled kid. Huh. This week I was talking with a friend of mine, and he lives out of state, and great guy. He said, "Hey, Pastor Frank, what are you teaching on Sunday?" And I said, "Man, it's so funny." I told him about this text, and I asked my buddy, "Go, man, have you ever been weary?" And he goes, "I cannot believe you just said that." He says, "My wife and I are very weak." He goes, "I have a 30-plus-something son who is out of college, who we put through college, who has a great job, and who can't seem to spend less money than he makes. His credit card debts is over past $60,000 or so, and his dad is trying, and his son tells him, the reason why I can't stop buying things is it's your fault, Dad. You raised me in Irvine, in a nice city, and I'm just used to nice things. And so the reason I have in this problem is because of you." Wow. Can anyone guess how Dad feels, and Mom? Wearied by their son's words. Really? Really? And I was so funny. He goes, "Pastor Frank, our kids had to buy their own cars. They had to work going through this." We tried so... And it's like, have you ever been wearied, parents, with your kids? Have you ever been wearied in life with words that people say to you? Take notes this morning. You ready? Here's note number one. I think it's a great note. People who constantly complain weary people around them. Let me just state that. It's a true statement. I think it's pretty important. People who constantly complain weary people around them. Who are you thinking of? Don't answer that. But let's face it. When I say this, somebody popped in your head. Am I right? Did you pop in someone else's head? I hope not. You know, when we complain, a lot of our complaining, not all people, but a lot of our complaining is rooted in our immaturity, our refusal to grow up and own it and learn from it and move on. Spoiled kids complain a lot. A lot of our complaining to God is rooted in our lack of patience and faith in Him. Right? Am I right? Just FYI. It's like God is speaking to His people and they're stuck. And they're looking at their life and they're like, it's God's fault. And then they're being sarcastic in their taunts to God. All who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord. It's like a constant dripping. It's like at the end of chapter 2, God pauses and He just says, you people weary me with your words. And then God responds to their accusations. Listen to this. It's one thought. You weary me. So what are you going to do, God? Listen closely. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord, who you're seeking, will come to His temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Almighty God. Who is coming to answer their accusations of His character? Who is God sending to answer the accusations of God's character? The Lord God Himself. This is a messianic passage. And in this messianic passage, it gives the identity of the Messiah. And it actually identifies the mission and purpose of the Messiah. Who is coming to answer? Take notes. The Lord God Himself. Wouldn't you be a little scared? The identity of the Messiah, the fullness of deity dwelling in bodily form. This was written 400 years before Jesus came. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. And then suddenly the Lord God Almighty, whom you're seeking, will come to His temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord. Do you see it? Do you see this? Do you see it? Who's coming? The Lord is coming. It was so cool. This last weekend at the wedding, I was sitting next to a Jewish man, young Jewish man, religious Jewish man. Had his kippah on his head, his yarmulke. And at the wedding ceremony, we were talking about God, and He's on His journey. And he's lived in Israel and he studied at a Hebrew school. And we began talking. And he talks about the Mishnah and the Talmud. And I talked about Daniel and Malachi and Isaiah. And at one point he says, you know more about my scriptures than I do. I said, you know, put away commentaries, put away the Mishnah, put away the Talmud, and just read Moses and the prophets, and you'll meet God. And he goes, that's what I'm going to do. If he read Malachi, what would he read? Who is the Messiah? God is the Messiah. Right? Am I right? I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Me who? Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to His temple. The messenger of my covenant whom you desire. The Lord Almighty says this. It's so beautiful. Do you remember? This is for all of a sudden God, most of Malachi is forthtelling, but then here comes four. God says, I'm sending into the future. I'm coming into the future. I'm going to deal with my people. Christ first came to the temple as a baby to be dedicated. And then Jesus came every year for yearly festivals. And most noticeably, Jesus came to the temple the last week of His life, coming down on a donkey from the Mount of Olives, fulfilling prophecies beyond belief. He taught so much. Jesus taught so much at the temple. And especially during Passion Week. And then he went and he hung on a cross to deal with justice. The cross is a collision of God's justice and God's love. God is a just God and God is a loving God. And now what's He supposed to do with you? What does God do with evil, broken, evil humanity? All of us. The Lord whom you are seeking will come to His temple. He'll come to His temple. But who can endure the day of His coming, says Malachi? Who can stand when He appears? Nobody, people. We should all be on our knees, right? For He will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness. The offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years. They accuse God that God approves of evil. They approve God that God is not just. And His answer is, as I am coming to you, and my mission is to this. My mission is to this. To purify. Who? All of us. His mission is to cleanse evil. Purify evil. Take notes. To purify the evil of mankind. It's the mission of the Messiah written 400 years before Jesus is born. Have y'all had a bath today? Did y'all use soap? Certainly hope so. Do you know what Jesus did for you on the cross? Do you get it? He washed you in His blood. He cleanses you, people. He transforms you. God deals with us through mercy and grace and love and forgiveness. He just lathers you up and washes you clean before a holy and righteous God. He just washes you, man, and transforms you from the inside out. This is the mission of the Messiah. He will come as a refiner's soap. He purifies the impurities. Do you know, do you really get who you are in Christ? God's first coming deals with cleaning of sin. Who wants the justice of God in your life? I don't. I want mercy and grace, don't you? Anybody here go, I want God's justice on me. Give me justice, Lord. Where's my justice? You don't get it. I want mercy and grace and forgiveness. If we get what we deserve, people, we're in trouble. We're toast. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's mercy and grace. The justice of God is achieved through Christ and what He does for you. He takes your stuff on Himself and He replaces you with His stuff. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God. Doesn't the Scripture say that God's only going to purify the religious people? The mission of the Messiah is to purify people. Just religious people? It says the Levites, doesn't it? Did y'all know that you in here are a holy priesthood? Because of Jesus, you in this room who've said yes to Jesus, in the eyes of God, you've been washed and cleansed in the blood of Christ. You have been purified. You've been reborn, renewed, and you've become a holy priesthood. Listen to this. Peter says this. 1 Peter 2:5. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to a holy priesthood. You are a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through the Messiah. Peter says this, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. The mission of the Messiah is to purify people. Just religious people? That's symbolic of the church. The church age that we live in now. We are holy religious people in the eyes of God because of Jesus and the soap that He did in your life. The day you said yes to Jesus, be it you were four, my wife was four when she accepted the Lord. I was 20-something. Early 20s. Whenever that was for you, if you said yes to Jesus, immediately the cleansing of Christ is imputed into your life, transforming you. Do you realize who you are? Do you realize what God has done? What is the mission of the Messiah? According to Malachi 3, God responds to people saying that God's all about evil and He's okay with it. And God responds to that and says, absolutely not. I'm going to come and purify the evil of humanity through my Messiah. And for those who reject His purification, who don't fear the Lord, what does God do? Any guesses? He comes to purify the evil of humanity, and He comes to what? Judge the evil of humanity. And this is Malachi, 400 years for the birth of Jesus. Take notes. To judge the evil of mankind. For those that reject the cleaning of Jesus, so I will come to you and put you on trial. Anybody want to be put on trial before a holy God? I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, perjurers, or liars. Have you ever lied? Has anyone in here ever lied? Confession? How many in here has ever lied? How many here have never lied ever in your life? You're a liar. We're all in the same boat. You get it? You're going to reject Jesus and think, I'll just go before the Lord Almighty God on my own merit because I'm a good person. Compared to holiness, you're not. How many lies does it take for you to become a liar? Is there a quota? You're a liar. Just on this alone, you'll be judged. Any sorcerers in here? Anybody like to dabble in witchcraft, sorcery? You're in trouble, right? Come on, people. So I will come and put you on trial, those of you who reject my Messiah. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, those who oppress the widow and the fatherless and deprive the foreigner among you of justice, but do not, and there it is, there's the word, and you don't fear me. You don't fear me, says the Lord. By the way, who's saying this? The Lord Almighty. You who just refuse to bow your knee before God, you refuse, just push Jesus out of your life, I don't want any part of you. No problem. Either way, God will deal with evil in the world. And He will deal with us, one way or another. First coming of Jesus is a cleansing of humanity. For all that would call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And for those that refuse, no problem. Second coming of Jesus is justice to a weary world that's really messed up. What do you think of Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 5? Pretty good, isn't it? Not bad, right? Pretty awesome. Do you want to know God? Did you know that God sometimes just gets wearied? Almighty God just, whatever that is, Almighty gets wearied. Your words weary. You mentally wear me out. It makes you wonder, why does God put up with you and me? Have you ever asked that question? Why does He put up with you? Why does He put up with me? Why does He put up with humanity? Why does He put up with His people 400 years ago? Why does He do that? Why does He put up with us? Here's the answer. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you've turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Almighty God. But you ask, how will we to return? Why does God put up with us? Because He's just true to Himself. God is God. God doesn't change. His being, His attributes, His nature, His immutability. God doesn't change. He doesn't say He loves you one day and says He doesn't love you the next. God, there's no shifting of shadows with God. He's fixed. One time I was asking my friend, I had a friend named Andy and it was beautiful. Saw him passing. Hey Andy, how you doing? No, pretty good. I go, man, how you doing with Jesus? Just a passing throw out. And he says, He's the fixed. I'm the variable. Isn't that good? Hey, how you doing with Jesus? He's the fixed. Pastor Frank, I'm the variable. I'm the one. If I'm distant from Him, it's my fault. I'm the variable. He's the same yesterday, tomorrow, and forever. He's there. Why does God put up with this? Because He's true to Himself. It's not because of who we are, it's because of who He is. That's why He puts up with us. For God so the world that He gave. God loves, it's an attribute, He's omnibenevolent. He can't not be Himself. Hey parents, your kids weary you, yes, maybe? Why'd you put up with them? You love them. You just do. You want to spank him. I don't know. I'd be careful. You want to smack him upside down? My friend wanted to smack his son. 30 times. You try. You know. I get it. He loves him. It's not because of who you are. It's because of who God is. That's why He puts up with this. Because He's God, and you are made in His image, and He loves you. He's God. Take notes. God is true to Himself. We weary the Lord. Why does He put up with us? I just put this one in. I think you need to write this down. I think it's good. God's familiar with our ways. He's used to us. He's used to you. He gets you. God's used to you. Not only is He true to Himself, He's familiar with our ways. God's used to you. I, the Lord, do not change. And you, the descendants, are not destroyed because of my attribute. I'm God. Then listen, God says, ever since the time of your ancestors, you've turned away from my decrees. You've not kept them. Do you think that in Malachi, this was the first time that God's people ever wearied him? Do you think if you could say, hey God, we'd love to interview you, when was the first time humanity ever wearied you? Do you think God would say, well, it was in Malachi? It didn't happen until Malachi. I finally was wearied by my people. When do you think God would... Hey God, when were you first wearied with us? Oh, Adam. Then there's Eve. Yeah, even with Moses, and even after I do miracles, that whole generation wearied me till I promised none of them could even enter the promised land that I had. I think God would go on and say, all humanity, I've been wearied. See, He's used to you. And He loves you anyway. He's used to you. And He loves you. And He doesn't change. He's just, He's holy, He's righteous. He's used to you. Does this world weary you? It wearies God too. When you see what's going on in our country right now, you know what the solution is to our country? You want to know what the solution is to the country? Gun control? A gun is a tool, according to people at Irvine PD. It's a tool. Our founding fathers wanted the citizens of this country to be able to defend themselves. It's a right to keep and bear arms, protect yourself. Because there's evil in the world. And you have a right to defend yourself from evil. Where this, the answer to America is this. Am I right? The answer to the world is this. God sees the evil in the world. And God says, my answer is I will come. I'm going to come and talk to you people with the Messiah. The identity of the Messiah, He's God. In human flesh. I didn't make this up. It's written in Malachi. Fullness of deity dwelling in bodily form. My Son shall purify humanity. My Son shall judge humanity. I will deal with justice and righteousness in this earth. Has God dealt with you? Have you been washed? Have you taken a spiritual bath? Did you know that you're not allowed in heaven without a spiritual bath? God's not going to let you stink up the place. So He's going to cleanse you. That's the only way you get in. There's no BO in heaven, I guess. How's that? I just came up with that one. I like that. That's not bad. God's not going to let you stink up the place in heaven. You can't go there unless you've been washed. He can't even be around you unless you've been washed in the blood of Christ. The Messiah will come to purify His people. The answer for humanity is Jesus. All humanity. Of every nation, tribe, and tongue to be a kingdom and priest to serve our God. Give me an amen. I'm right, right? Aren't I? Look what God's done in your life. He's transformed you and He's still doing it. God is awesome. He loves you. He doesn't walk away. He's here and He's engaged. And He wants people to be changed from the inside out. The transformation of the human being is the cure. Jesus. God, may your heart be known this morning. May you speak through your prophet Malachi this morning. God, speak into your people and let them understand you. Let them see you. Let them hear you. Spirit of the living God, fall upon this place. God, I pray that you would transform us and renew us. Help us to understand. God, I ask that you would forgive us for the days when we weary you. God, has there ever been a time when you looked at us and you just shrugged your head? Was there ever a time in our life, Lord, when you just saw the way we were living our lives and the decisions we were doing, and you just shook your head? We're sorry. We ask that you would help us to grow up. We thank you for your patience. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you will never give up on us. Jesus said you'd leave the 99 to come save the one. You're never going to give up. Jesus, we're grateful for mercy and grace. Thank you when you came to earth, you came to cleanse us of sin and to prepare a way before a holy God. Jesus, I pray you'd help us in here to understand who we are and who you are and what you have done and what you're going to do, that you have come and you're coming again. God, may we be people in this room that proclaim the transforming gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in word, action, thought, and deed. I ask, Jesus, that you would give us courage and boldness to proclaim Jesus to a lost and dying world. And Lord, if there's anyone in here today who's never said yes to Jesus, Lord, if there's anyone in here today who just came to realize that they need a spiritual bath, a cleansing from the Messiah, I ask, Lord, that you would help them right now to pray this prayer. If you're here today and you've never said yes to Jesus, pray this prayer. Lord, I call upon you. And I ask you to cleanse me today in the blood of Jesus Christ. By faith, I receive what Jesus has done for me. I pray that you would take away my shame and my guilt and my sin. You wash me anew and help me, God, to be born again. Would you please write my name in heaven and prepare a place for me when I die? And Lord, while I'm here, help me to follow your ways and to walk in your truth. I pray this in the name of Jesus. And all who would agree to a prayer like that would say, amen. Amen. One more. One, two, three. Ready? Amen. That's truth. It's awesome. Stir this in. Read Malachi. At the end of the service, we pray for people. And we're going to do that. What's going to happen here? We've got two songs we want to sing. And I want you to sit in your chair and I want you to think about this and I want you to say, Jesus, is there anything you want to say or speak into my life? If you're here today and you find that you need prayer, the scripture in the book of James says to seek out the leaders of the church and let them pray for you. By the way, we celebrate Sharon. Sharon's surgery went well. We anointed her with prayer a few weeks ago. She's doing great. God has done amazing things. If you're here today and you need prayer, I want to invite you to come up and just let us pray for you. If you're up in the balcony, Pastor Vince will be up there. The Chows will be up there down here. I'm going to have my brother Mike come up here and pray with me, Pastor Graham and BJ, my wife Cinda. If you're here today and you just need a prayer, let us pray for you. As we're worshiping and you see people that come forward for prayer, would you please just send a prayer? God, I don't know what's going on in their life, but I pray your touch upon their life. We as a church, as a Jesus community, let's just be bound together with each other. Lord, do your work in our midst. Spirit of God, be poured out upon this place. Jesus, what's your will here this morning? You speak to us in a group, speak to us individually. Give us faith, Lord. Give us courage. We pray for healing. We pray, God, for you to open doors. We pray for you to turn on the lights. We pray for your protection. We pray for your touch. We pray for your presence. Spirit of God, be poured out upon the hearts of your people. Whisper into their ears today and tell them that you are here. Tell them that you love us, that you're present. You understand us. We can't hide. That you're good. You're gentle and humble in heart. And you give rest. Lord, tear down pride. Bring healing, we pray, in Jesus' name. Power in Jesus' name.